Hello, this is Ian Harper welcoming you to Business of Weather podcast, produced in association with Asia Climate Forum, Asia's largest event dedicated to extreme weather and climate change, flooding and poor air quality. In each episode, we'll investigate the increasing impact of extreme weather and climate change on business and society, and look at how weather technology and climate information services can help address the growing challenges. We'll also spotlight the new opportunities for entrepreneurs and business startups seeking to develop the business potential of technology innovations to help those affected by extreme weather. If we are to do anything to help manage and mitigate the rapidly growing impacts of extreme weather and climate change, then cooperation is critical. In particular, cooperation between the many experts and organisations from the public, private and academic sectors engaged in weather forecasting and developing related technology products and services. Collectively known as the Weather Enterprise or the Global Weather Enterprise, these experts and organisations include universities and scientists, national meteorological services, manufacturers of technologies to acquire, process and communicate weather and related data, and the providers of information and forecasting services to all manner of weather-affected end users. To promote public-private academic sector cooperation, the World Meteorological Organization, or WMO, has created the Open Consultative Platform, or OCP for short. To find out more, Business of Weather interviewed Dimitar Ivanov, the WMO's Director of Public-Private Engagement, who is in charge of this new initiative. Welcome to the Business of Weather, Dimitar.
Hello.
Right, let's get straight in. Your website says the Open Consultative Platform, or OCP for short, will offer a mechanism for addressing collaboratively the grand challenges before the weather enterprise in an open, constructive and participatory way. First of all, can you tell me in your own words what the OCP is and what its objectives are?
To give you a better idea, I will start with the adoption of the Geneva Declaration 2019 with the title Building Community for Weather, Climate and Water Action, adoption by the WMO Congress last June. This was a high-level policy adopted by the 160 states attending the Congress. This declaration provides a statement on the need for interdisciplinary, multi-stakeholder partnerships, and this is our response to the global societal challenges and risks. And this is part of the WMO response to the global sustainable development agenda, climate accord, the disaster risk reduction efforts, in which many international organizations cooperate closely. When you declare such an ambitious policy, you need a platform to talk with all stakeholders to be able to build mutual understanding and trust, and most importantly, to formulate some practical collaborative actions. This is what the Open Consultative Platform is about. You already mentioned what is the main objective. The launch of this platform happened last July through it was a truly remarkable gathering of more than 40 of the global leaders in our enterprise from all sectors, all continents, from developed and developing countries. And the joint statement of this high-level roundtable is kind of a manifesto of the OCP.
Right, thanks for that. Now, who are the OCP's stakeholders? Is it open to WMO members only, or is it open to anyone who is affected by or has a business or professional interest in the weather?
This question contains one general misconception when you say WMO members only. I guess you mean the National Meteorological Services.
Yes.
This is a common misconception about the WMO as organization as and its membership. namely that NMHSs, the National Meteorological and Hydrological Services, are the members. And this is not true, because WMO is composed by member states and territories, the same way as United Nations itself and many of the other UN organizations. So we have 187 member states and 6 member territories. So to answer your question, you need first to understand that all stakeholders have representation in the WMO processes through their state delegations. For example, a permanent representative of a state coming to a WMO decision-making body does not represent the meteorological service, the National Meteorological Service. He or she represents the state with all sectors included. For this reason, many delegations have always included experts from the private sector, not to mention academia, which has a huge presence in the WMO works and activities. So back to your initial question, indeed, the idea of the OCP is an inclusive platform where everyone can come, ask questions, and participate in selected activities.
Okay, now thanks for clarifying that. Now, how would you define the weather enterprise, or the global weather enterprise, as it is also known?
I think there are several ways to describe a community of practice and a community of expertise. And weather enterprise, as a descriptive term, gained popularity during the last, 5 years or so. In the WMO policy framework on public-private engagement, we have a definition of weather enterprise. It's a very broad definition. It's a descriptive term, which says, in general, this is each and everyone, from individuals to the institutions, from all sectors that have something to do with the provision of services across the value chain and the participation in the various part of the value chain. So this is a quite lengthy definition. We call it weather enterprise, but it's very clearly stated in this policy framework that this weather enterprise has a national, regional, and global dimension. So when we talk about global weather enterprise, it seems sometimes that we cover only one of these dimensions, but in the more general understanding, it's the same meaning as we put in this policy framework definition. Just one interesting fact, WMO as a UN organization works in 6 languages. So there was some issues when trying to translate the term weather enterprise in some of the other languages we work with, because there is a different notion of this term, and in like in French or Spanish, enterprise has a very clear notion of something that's commercial. So in the Geneva Declaration that I mentioned earlier, which is really talking about the global community, which in other terms covers what we mean of the global weather enterprise, we did not use the global weather enterprise term because of this ambiguity when translated in other languages. So I think these are some issues in using this term, but we have it also in our policy documents. It is defined, even though this is quite open definition, and we use it.
Now, moving on to what you describe as the grand challenges before the weather enterprise, can you explain the nature of these challenges, and also to what extent the challenges are about the relationships between the WMO on the one hand and, on the other hand, the public, private and academic sectors which make up the global weather enterprise?
Yes, the challenges, which we call grand challenges, are not isolated from the global societal challenges and risks. That's why when we define our strategy as organization, and in particular for the OCP and for the Weather Enterprise, we look at the World Economic Forum global risk map. And it's very interesting to see that consistently over the last three, four years or more, the risks related to extreme weather, climate change adaptation, water scarcity, are at the very top of the global risk map. So this puts enormous responsibility on the WMO as a UN agency on weather, water, and climate, and the whole community to provide an adequate response to those challenges. This is these grand challenges. So we have, as WMO, more than 30 programs addressing all aspects of meteorology, operational hydrology, climatology, environment, if you wish, also space weather, and all related technological and standardization issues. So there are numerous challenges, but these grand challenges are really selected from their strategic meaning and their strategic importance for the whole community. And they are formulated now in the OCP manifesto, as I said earlier. We focused on five of these challenges, which are linked to the value chain and also to the development agenda. But the second part of your question, I don't see any challenges related to relationship between WMO and the sectors. As I mentioned earlier, the WMO being intergovernment organizations and all sectors represented by default, but some issues do exist mostly at national level, where either because of the lack of proper legal or regulatory framework in the countries or lack of understanding, there might be some issues and frictions between, in particular, between the public sector, let's say National Meteorological Services, and some of the private service providers. So these are issues that we try to address and resolve.
Right. Now, let's have a look at how the OCP fits into the broader WMO picture. To what extent will the OCP help shape, inform, and influence WMO policy? For example, WMO policy about access to weather data generated by the private sector, or possibly WMO policies related to cooperation with commercial weather companies?
Yes, the WMO policies in general are shaped by the societal needs and by the priorities set up by the governments of the member states. And we, of course, from our knowledge of the current landscape, we see many new challenges and new strategies that are needed to address these challenges. So OCP is the platform that will provide this collaborative working between the sectors to inform these government decisions. Like, as you mentioned, data issues, they are always coming up in our discussions between the sectors. So there is a big change in the data landscape, in the data coming to support the value chain. So not only data from the private sector, but also data from the public sector. And WMO is the organization that sets up some global policies, in particular for the so-called free and unrestricted exchange of essential data. This is what supports the whole enterprise. But the challenge is now how to use in an optimal way and really improve the uptake of data from private sector. This is something that OCP will definitely discuss together with the other stakeholders and partners, because this is possibly the biggest potential to have great improvements in everything we do in the coming years. WMO has already started an update of the famous Resolution 40, which is like 25 years old now, and the related resolutions 25 and 60, which cover the hydrological and climatological data. So we have a task from the Congress last year to review and update data policies, and this should be done and will be done in a very, very open way and close cooperation with stakeholders from all sectors. But in general, the main element of the policy, we strongly encourage more open and free exchange, international exchange of meteorological, hydrological, and climatological data. So if we look at the cooperation with the commercial weather companies, this is again one of the questions we try to address through the OCP. And we have a very good working arrangements and long-term partnership with the private sector through its organizations and associations like HMEI, like PRIMET, the IABM, the broadcast meteorology. We have very good relationship and working arrangement with all these formations in the private sector. In the aviation, we have also a lot to do with IATA as representative of airlines. So we continue this work with the private sector through its associations and through its internal organization. But sometimes it is difficult to hear a consolidated voice of private sector. And let's not forget that there are also some competitions, some friction within each of the sectors. So that's why we need the OCP, the open platform, where people can come and can talk and can try to find solutions to these problems, because they affect the performance of all stakeholders.
Now then, we can all think of situations where the private sector is better than the public sector at certain tasks, and also where the public sector is the best. For example, the private sector may be better at meeting the weather data needs of the energy sector, while the public sector may be better at providing flood alerts. Will the OCP consider such issues as who does what best when it comes to particular weather-related tasks or challenges?
Yes, absolutely. One of the grand challenges we see and what came out of the high-level roundtable was the how we can better define roles and responsibilities within the enterprise. How to respond to the demand for services through adequate supplier services, and how in the next decade the enterprise will provide environment intelligence driving decision making. This is one of our five grand challenges. I absolutely agree with you. Private sector, both sectors, they have their roles and their areas of certain advantages, and there is no prescription from WMO how these services and operations are provided at national level. This is always left to national regulation, legislation, and national arrangements. That's why the national enterprise and national platforms are extremely important to be promoted in the countries where people can work directly one-to-one with the different providers and also with the user community. Private sector has already taken long ago the media. I think more than 90% on a global scale of the media services, which is very important public weather service, is provided through private sector. So you mentioned energy, but there are other sectors where private sector also have quite profound participation in the service delivery, which includes aviation, tourism, road transport, so many areas. There is one particular area where WMO has stand and a strong international recommendation, and this is concerning the provision of warning services. These are services related to the safety of life and property, and we do have WMO prescriptions that there should be a authoritative voice, because these services are provided as part of a national disaster risk management system. So there should be no ambiguity or no wrong signals in a crisis situation. And we do see a major role for the public national meteorological services to continue to be the provision of warning services. And of course, the basic infrastructure, which is kind of a natural monopoly funded by the public sector, will most likely stay in the responsibilities and portfolio of the public services.
Okay, thank you. Now, my understanding is that the weather enterprise has to grow significantly if it is to build the capacity needed to help mitigate the increasing impacts of extreme weather and climate change. What role does the OCP envisage playing when it comes to encouraging the growth, development and capacity of the weather enterprise?
The expectations of growth for the whole enterprise, I believe this should be addressed in a more specific way. There is a general growth of demand. We know that for data and services, but there will be various processes in the enterprise to meet these demands. And there are also the huge demands stemming from the global agenda, the global challenges I mentioned earlier. There is also a need to understand better and even describe better the weather market. So the whole market for meteorological, climatological, hydrological services, related information services. And there are specific sectors where the demands are already growing, like, for example, insurance sector, energy sector. And there are cross-cutting areas where we also work as WMO. For example, health services, where we cooperate with the World Health Organization to define the innovative health services. This is a multidisciplinary task. We work also with FAO concerning the agrometeorological services. So the demand is clear, but how this will be addressed, definitely there is a need for growth, but we need to be more specific in which areas, what type of growth is expected, and how the sectors will fit into this picture. We need to when we talk about the growth of the enterprise, we need to engage economists, people from the area of economy of markets, and to have much more analytical work to understand the whole dynamics. And this is another area where OCP will work. This is also mentioned in the Geneva Declaration that we have to work with the economics community to understand better the whole issues related to growth and market.
Right, now just moving on. Aside from those reasons we've already considered, are there any other reasons why the OCP was set up? For example, to respond to any perceived problems with the weather enterprise, which the WMO feels need to be addressed. I'm thinking here of issues such as those about access to weather data, or possibly the provision of public forecasting and warning services by commercial companies.
I think if you look back in the last 5 years at least, we have our four-year cycle of congresses in WMO. The OCP comes as a part of a logical sequence of actions. This could be traced back to the Congress that we had in 2015, where the task came to work on providing guidance to member states on what happens in the enterprise, improved guidance on the relationship between the sectors. So we've been doing this for the last 5 years in a kind of escalating manner. There have been events organized and during the Executive Council of WMO, and we've been cooperating closely with the World Bank and other partners all this time. So when the time came to realize the need for high-level policy, and this is the Geneva Declaration, which is the really a very important moment in WMO history. There is also a clear need to establish a platform to make this policy recommendations and statements a reality So this is how the OCP came into being. Of course, we may talk about some perception issues over the last 5 years. Again, we had a very intensive dialogue over these last 5 years, where the sectors came together in many different events, and you were one of the organizers of these events in Asia, like through Intermed Asia, where in cooperation with the World Bank and other partners, we had these dialogues, and we know that there are some different views and opinions, but this dialogue was extremely useful to try to understand better and to build more trust and to resolve some of these perception issues. So I think this is an ongoing process. OCP and Global Weather Enterprise Forum are two forums that will be very, very instrumental, working in close cooperation to resolve such perception issues, and if they in places where they still exist. But if we look at the landscape now, we can find in many, many countries already that there is a very well established positioning of the sectors in the enterprise at national or regional level, and the commercial companies are fully integrated in this enterprise, understood as very important providers of information and services.
Right, now thanks for that. Now in recent years, the role of the private sector in providing weather data and weather services has grown enormously. In some areas, the private sector may actually be competing with the public sector, a situation which could create some friction and confusion. What opportunities do you see for the OCP in helping encourage a relationship between the public and private sectors, which is more cooperative and collaborative and perhaps less competitive?
I may come again to a reference to the Geneva Declaration, where all this promoting of the collaborative and cooperative relationships in the enterprise are there, and avoid competition, non-productive competitions. Some competition is, of course, always good, and part of the driving force for improvement of the services across the enterprise. But there is a special provision in the Geneva Declaration stating that advising states to have such legislation and legal frameworks that actually prevent anti-competitive behavior by the various stakeholders. So we definitely not only welcome the growth and the growing role of the private sector in the provision of information and services, but we also realize that it's unavoidable to achieve the goals, including those in the WMO strategic plan, without the participation of the private sector. The public budget has been an issue, public budget supporting the basic infrastructure and the operations of the National Meteorological Services. It's been shrinking, or there have been a lot of pressure all over these years. And of course, we cannot expect a big growth of the public sector support in the coming years. So there is the big question of finding the right balance, which is mostly at national level with the good support from the global guidance from WMO and other partner organizations, to find the balance how the optimum should be provided and how the people will receive the best possible services, regardless which sector is providing these services. This is part of our policy framework, by the way. We adopted the principle, which is a UN principle, people first. So we have to think about the end users and the people in particular when we talk about those services related to saving life and property. People first means we have to find the best possible service regardless of which sector is providing it, and it should be done at national level through appropriate legal and regulatory framework.
Now, generally speaking, few countries have legislation in place which defines the responsibilities of their national meteorological services or the role of the private sector weather service providers. As such, is there a good opportunity here for the OCP to work with national weather services and the private sector weather service providers to help to clearly define and clarify their roles and responsibilities?
Absolutely. This is one of these challenges that were already identified by the OCP, how to provide the necessary legal frameworks that will make the weather enterprise realize its full potential. In fact, many countries already have some sort of legislation that defines at least the designation of a national agency, its role, its portfolio of services, and the funding by the public budget, which provides the basics for the whole enterprise activities. But we have one difficulty in many countries when talking about the legal frameworks. There is this not very clear definition at national level of who is the regulator. Apart from the aviation, where for the aeronautical meteorological services, there is a requirement both from WMO and from the International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO, that each country has to designate meteorological authority. And in fact, this had been done in all countries. So we know that this authority is the responsible entity for the provision of this particular type of services in the country. But for other services, this is not the case, and we have great variety of national legal frameworks and arrangements for the provision of meteorological services. So the one task that we've started already is to have a very good analytical exercise on the existing legal arrangements and to identify the good national practices to be promoted, to also assist member states with who are lacking such legal arrangements. And this is one area, by the way, where we've been working in good cooperation with the World Bank for their development assistance projects in the least developed countries. There are some very good examples of legal frameworks. I would mention, for instance, Japan, where the roles are very well defined. There is a good description of the individual roles, responsibilities of the sectors, and there is also a system of licensing for provision of services, which also ensures quality. And finally, there is a very good national platform where the business and the public sector come together and discuss all the issues that they consider need to be resolved. So such practices need to be promoted in all countries.
Now, my final question. The World Bank, which has a key role in promoting the application of weather data, has helped set up the Global Weather Enterprise Forum. This claims to bring together public, private and academic organisations with the aim of providing weather information services to save lives, protect infrastructure and enhance economic output. Looking ahead, how do you see the relationship developing between the OCP and the WMO and the Global Weather Enterprise Forum? Don't you all share a lot of common ground?
Yeah, indeed. And WMO and the World Bank have a long-lasting partnership. This was also demonstrated in the work done through the Global Weather Enterprise Forum. We continue coordinating plans and activities between the WMO OCP and the GWE Forum and try to optimize the respective plans. We need to leverage our resources. They're limited on both sides. So it's important in this regard for each organization to act in accordance with its mandate and responsibilities, because we are accountable to our members and stakeholders. And I think we have now a good understanding between OCP and GW Forum that they should be complementary mechanisms driven by common goals, and we have these common goals well defined. We discussed this at the forum meeting in January in Boston during the AMS annual meeting, and there was a very good general agreement that the complementary roles assume that the OCP, being a WMO mechanism, will be focusing on the strategic issues for the member states and for the enterprise as a whole. These issues, strategic issues, which require government decisions by the state's governments. That means these are issues dealt with by the WMO Congress and the Executive Council, and the OCP can help in formulating opinions and recommendations for informed decision making by these bodies. One such thing is, for example, the data policy, which is defined by WMO, approved by Congress, is of concern of all stakeholders. Of course, also all the work WMO has been doing on the global standards and the global regulatory material. So, on the other hand, I think the World Bank format has a very, very strong role to play in finding pragmatic solutions for the advancement of the enterprise and practical realization of the high-level policies. In particular, of course, the bank has this huge role to play if we talk about realizing one of the main strategic objectives called No One Left Behind, which means capacity development for the less developed countries. There is a lot to be done in improving the development assistance models to ensure sustainability. This is one of the things that we've been discussing, and it was very well stressed in the outcomes of the GW Forum meetings so far. I think we, WMO and the World Bank, other development agencies and the industry, we all have one huge common responsibility, which is to sustain the global infrastructure, and because this global infrastructure is the basic element of the whole system of systems of the enterprise. And this will still require substantial public funding to ensure that the basic systems needed for the provision of global public good are sound and are advancing with the science and technology advancement.
Well, that concludes today's interview. Dimitar Ivanov, Director of Public-Private Engagement at the World Meteorological Organization, thank you very much.
My pleasure, and thank you. Yeah.
You're listening to Business of Weather, produced in association with Asia Climate Forum, Asia's largest event dedicated to addressing climate change, flooding, and poor air quality.